the advance in technology is actually a crutch for the de-evolution of the human intellect. For instance, a lot of people like to say that the Bible isn't considered accurate until it was in writing, because then but those same people then say, but the writing's inaccurate too, because there's all these, like, well, which one do you know? The truth is,
you mentioned that you were a Christian, but you had also mentioned that you used to be an atheist too, which I think is a really cool journey and story of going from atheism to Christianity. So what was it that was this enlightening experience that made you say, okay, I wasn't made from nothing. I am not just stardust and these stars collided and here I am as an intelligent and obviously designed human being.
So, and that is the big question, right? Mm-hmm. Is how do we figure out what's true, what's not? I think there's three questions. Is there a God?
Mm-hmm.
Which one is it? And what does he want? And so the first question, I was like saved when I was 4 years old,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think you're really like your faith is real until you lose it and kind of come back for your own reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, med school, I was too busy like, you know, doing drugs. Well, not heavy drugs, mm-hmm. cocaine stuff, but like smoking up every now and then, some psychedelics here and there. And, you know, banging hot chicks and just trying to have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
And I realized that I had two different definitions of the word nothing. So there was actually a benefit to me to be atheist.
Right.
Because I didn't have these consequences. I didn't have this invisible dude telling me to stop sinning. Right.
Right. So you had less guilt?
No, the guilt actually increased, but I found a mechanism to pay the guilt off. And so what you do when you're an atheist is you collect I'm a good person points as a currency.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that bag of I'm a good person money and you pay your conscience to shut up for a while so you can sin in peace.
Yeah.
And so what it is, it's really transactional. That's why atheists love arguing with Christians. That's actually a transaction they're getting from them.
Yeah.
Their conscience is bugging them. Conscience meaning cone, science,
mm-hmm.
has the word science in it. It means
right.
with knowledge. And so the Bible says that we have knowledge that we're sinners in need of a savior, but what we do is we garner I'm a good person points to pay our conscience to leave us alone.
Yeah.
So we can feel like a good person and then go about our sin.
Right.
We're really renting sin time from our conscience like a vending machine. And so I realized I had two different definitions of the word nothing. If you ask me what happens when we die, it's like nothing.
Right.
We'll define nothingness. What do you mean? There's nothing to define. But then when you ask like where did we come from? Well, we came from nothing. But that nothing has the quantum level. It has gravity. It has stardust. It has thermodynamics, energy, all this stuff. And I'm like, those are not the same nothing. And if the universe came from nothing, then it's scientifically possible that heaven could just come from the next nothingness that comes after we die.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, it's like you start to catch your own BS after a while. Mm-hmm. And I realized there was a transactional benefit for me to be atheist because, essentially, you get to continue on in sin, not without guilt, but with the appearance of alleviated consequences.
Yeah.
And so I realized there had to be a God, and then I wanted to figure out which one it was. So I took 7 years. I read all the holy
Before
books.
Before you get into that, because you obviously come across as a very, one, cynical, so you question everything, which is a good thing. And we'll talk about conspiracy theories here in a second, because I question everything. It doesn't make me a conspiracy theorist. I even question the conspiracy theories.
Correct.
Right. Like, for instance, all Republicans are good and all Democrats are bad.
Correct.
No, that's not true. I question a lot of Republicans.
Correct.
So you're obviously cynical, but you're also analytical. But one of the things that I was stuck on is science teaches us that energy cannot be created nor destroyed.
Yeah.
So how do we come from nothing? And then if we die, if we are energy, then how do we turn to nothing?
Yep.
And isn't that counterintuitive to what science teaches us?
It is.
Our current understanding of science?
Correct. So this goes back to Genesis, and mm-hmm. it goes back to thermodynamics.
Mm-hmm.
So thermodynamics has three rules. One is that energy is not created or destroyed,
mm-hmm.
right? And then it gets into entropy, right? Entropy is molecules basically falling apart, going mm-hmm. from a high concentration of organized structure to a lower concentration of disorganized or chaos,
mm-hmm.
an increase in entropy. I think that Genesis 3 is entropy. I think the curse, I even define, and this gets, because, you know, as a medical doctor, it's like, you know, I'm expected not to believe in certain things, but
right.
Screw that. Like,
yeah.
It is what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually believe that modern medicine is the attempt to reverse, slow, or stop the curse of Genesis 3. I think we're all falling apart from the atomic level.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to glue ourselves back together quite fruitlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think technology, the advance in technology is actually a crutch for the de-evolution of the human intellect. For instance, a lot of people like to say that the Bible isn't considered accurate until it was in writing, because then but those same people then say, but the writing's inaccurate too, because there's all these, like, well, which one do you, you know, the truth seems to be that the oral tradition that predated when Moses in the seventh generation from Adam wrote the first biblical canon transcripts. It seems like it was actually more accurate before it was written, which people are like, how could that be possible? How could it be possible? Because they think of it as a telephone game.
Yeah.
But the way encryption...
The closer you are to the actual event, the more accurate it is. And the further away, the less accurate it is.
Not just that. Even assuming that the text and the verbal were exactly the same, the way you decrypt or encrypt something is to pull apart the literal and the actual meaning, ship them in different containers, and then combine them back so they make sense. When, let's say, I have a child, right? And I'm like, you know, I'm Adam, right? Let's say I'm teaching Abel the Bible, or at least this, what's happened so far. God, you know, we got here, we just woke up one day, God put me to sleep, took a rib, blah, 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 all this stuff. Well, when I would tell him the literal content of what happened, then I would say, now, what does that mean? And I would ask him the actual interpretation of the literal content. And so it was locked together to where you would pass on the, not just the knowledge of how, but the wisdom of why. And so you had knowledge and wisdom kind of combined. And so when we have literature, or just the literal, right? Now everyone can make up their own actual interpretation, which is where we get all these denominations. And so we've lost half of the Bible just in it, just in the fact that if a kid didn't agree with the interpretation, you wouldn't teach him the next sentence. You locked those together. And so, yeah, it's pretty much.
So you went through, you said seven different religions, or were you analyzed through the seven different religions?
No, I'd say I was like raised Christian, did the atheist thing for a while. Realized there had to be a God. And I was like, now, so that's the first question. Is there a God? And like we said, there kind of has to be.
Right.
And I realized that the human intellect was falling apart. Like, we're not evolving from atoms, we're devolving from Adam. And the increase in technology.
Can you repeat that again?
Yeah. We're not evolving from atoms, we're devolving from Adam. So,
are y'all getting the play there? Atoms, as in the science of neutrons, electrons, and all that, to Adam, the actual person?
We could get it too into the Egyptian Book of the Dead, which had a god called Atum.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a whole rabbit hole.
Wow. But
the Egyptian Book of the Dead, they all come from, there's only two religions. And this is where, what I inevitably realized. We're writing books as external hard drives for our failing minds. And so as technology increases, it's a crutch for the de-evolution of the human intellect. They didn't need it back then. And so not only was their mind stronger, so it was more accurate because it was more preserved in their mind.
Yeah.
They held the actual interpretation, not just the literal. And so what happens is, and, for instance, there's two types of thought processes. There's convergent and divergent. Convergent is where you take facts and you converge them into a central worldview. Sounds like everyone should do that, except the resulting worldview is only as good as the facts that were put in. So it's garbage in, garbage out.
Right.
And so you end up with this confident worldview that may be based on bad rocks, like bad rocks in the parable of the sower is kind of what that's referring to. And this goes back to a concept by Dawkins called memes, not like a social media meme, but mimetic, or from the word memory. But then you have divergent thought. Divergent thought is where you start with a central question, but you ask it questions out on the peripheries, so scientific versus philosophical.
Yeah.
And so the way I form my worldview, not to say that I'm right, but I think this is correct. I merge those two together, which is called lateral thinking. It's convergent and divergent. And so what happens is you take facts and you converge them into a central worldview, and then you question the facts, hold all thoughts captive to Christ, and you look for you question everything out in the periphery again. And so it's like this convergent, divergent, convergent. It's almost like an inhale, exhale.
Yeah.
And so your worldview becomes like this living, breathing thing. And I started to analyze all the books with that. I read the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Hindu Bible, although it's a way of life, so they don't say Bible. I read the Book of Mormon, all three Bibles, the 66 of the Protestant, the 72 of the Catholic, Apocrypha, and this 84 of the Ethiopian canon, including like the Book of Enoch and all this, the Nag Hammadi library, and just pretty much everything I could get my hands on. Still working through the Jewish Talmud.
You were obsessive.
Well, I wanted to figure out if, yes, I actually was like addicted to sin. And so I'm like, I'm looking for a reason to justify my sin life. And Jesus was throwing a monkey wrench into it. And I was like, I just couldn't get past it. Mm-hmm. And so I read all the books and they all told me what I wanted to hear. You're a good person. You can save yourself, live a good life, do the right thing based on fill in the subjective standard of goodness, like the five pillars of Islam or whatever. And then you hold yourself up to that lower standard and now you're good. And therefore your sin is now justified.
Mm-hmm.
You use that currency, the I'm a good person currency, to pay your conscience off and the problem's solved.
Right.
But then Jesus comes in. He's the only one that's different. He says, you're not a good person. You can't save yourself. Your works are filthy rags to God. I'm not impressed. Like, God's not impressed. And you need a savior because you're damned to hell and you deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And so really you have the wages of sin is death, which is what Jesus says. And you have the like evil inverse of that, which is the wages of goodness is life.
Mm-hmm.
I am owed salvation because I'm a good person. And that's what every single religion, they're all just denominations of the same I'm a good person religion.
Right.
And so I realized, okay, Jesus is the only one that's different. It's the only one I don't want to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the one that's true. And so I answered those first two questions of, is there a God? And then which one is it? And now I'm like spending the rest of my life trying to figure out like, what exactly does he want from us?
Yeah.